You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us, and happy Monday. Hope your week has started off well. Hopefully you're getting to the end of your work day and able to get out there and enjoy some of the, might be a little cloudy where I am, but it's warm. It actually feels like it might be June. Thank goodness. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest co-host with me. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find his work on a podcast called Wisconsin Forward. Yes, our state's motto, indeed, forward, 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 at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Big thanks to our last guest, State Senator LaTanya Johnson. I don't know why I keep saying Jackson every once in a while. I know her name is Johnson. I've been following her career for years. State Senator LaTanya Johnson, ranking Democrat on the state's Joint Finance Committee. We are going to have her back and spend some time going, maybe a little fine-tooth combing, Matt, of the state's biennial budget as we get closer to adoption.
I don't envy her job. That is just an enormous lift that she's got. And plus, she's got to deal with really obnoxious Republicans on that committee. And she doesn't have the power. The Democrats don't have the power there. So it's a thankless job, really.
It truly is. And I can't imagine what that must feel like to have to listen to that all the time and know that there's not much we can do to solve the problem is really frustrating. She wanted me to mention something specific before we departed with the fine senator. And the thing that she wanted me to mention was she wanted all of you out there listening to pay attention to what has gone on with the Department of Corrections budget. And what she means by that is that when you look at corrections and incarceration writ large, if you lock more people up, it is going to cost more money to lock people up, more staff, more buildings. It is extremely expensive to have someone who is incarcerated. It is even more expensive if that person is a youth, a young person. And if you look at what we have spent on corrections over the last few budgets, it goes up. It's not going down, it's going up. This is a trend nationwide. We spend more now on incarcerating people than we ever have in our nation's history. We spend more on a per capita basis incarcerating people in this country than they do anywhere else in Western democracies. And we have worse outcomes. If you want to talk about it with recidivism, people recovering from AODA issues, getting GEDs, that's happening. But we call these places largely rehabilitation centers, and yet we fail at that. I digress a wee bit, but the senator wanted me to make this point on some money, some specific figures in the DOC budget. We have two facilities for justice-involved youth that have to be incarcerated in the state. It's Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, excuse me. One's for girls, one's for boys. We spend on average just over $40,000 a year per pupil in our public education system. Just over 40. To house a young man or young woman at Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake, currently we pay just over $460,000 per year. Check it, 40 to 460, i.e. just under a $500,000 a year to hold a child, a young person at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. More than 10 times. It's going to be more than 20 times what we spend to educate them starting in a month. It will be over $800,000 per student, per young person, for them to be incarcerated at Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake. And it will go up even more next year. That is close to $1 million a kid. By the way, that could be done cheaply and with better outcomes, as proven in nearly every single study that has looked at justice-involved youth, if we had community-based programming. Not shipping kids from Milwaukee and Dane counties or whatever county, Green County, to some place halfway across the state where they never see their family or talk to anybody that they know or love.
And those institutions are very troubled institutions, very, too.
Abuse. Guards have been injured by young people that are there. Overuse of detention and restraint, more solitary type cell-based detention. Restraint use that has been wildly criticized. Kids that have been abused. Think about keeping kids hundreds of miles away from home in a prison-like atmosphere. This is not how you do this. And it's totally cost ineffective. So anyways, my thanks to Senator Johnson for making those points. So much to talk about with her, Matt. I can't wait to spend a little bit more time with her, especially as we get closer to budget adoption. And we've got something to take aim at real clearly. Got to do it.
Yeah, the budget is crucial. It can be, you know, tedious for people to look at the numbers, but that's where the action is.
Well, and it's the lies about what's in the budget and the refusal to listen to people in so-called listening sessions about it is pretty extraordinary in this moment.
Yeah, so galling.
It is so galling. But I wanted to, we've got one of our regular listeners and callers on the line, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to cue this up. We're going to take a couple callers in case folks wanted to react to the senator. But here's our next topic. Put your thinking caps on because I want to get your reactions to this. As we have been seeing video of deportation raids across the country, one image is now seared into the American consciousness. That is not just Ice Barbie, Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, in the ever so practical long waves with a flak jacket on. I know that's how all of my friends that have been in military or law enforcement, you know, break down doors with their hair, with the locks flowing. Not just Ice Barbie. It is the image of unspecified law enforcement officers in full head-to-toe tactical equipment, basically minus a military-grade automatic rifle and minus a military helmet, but everything else they've got on, and a face covering. That is the image in everyone's mind. You don't know what agency they're from. Could be ICE, could be something else, could be local law. Nobody knows. They do not have on identifying name badges. You can't see their faces. They put on the wraparound shades. You don't know who they are. And you can buy this crap on Amazon or stuff that looks like it. Here's my question. I got into a pretty heated debate online, which I try to avoid doing, but this one really got me cooking. About the idea that you've got law enforcement with face coverings on executing immigration arrests. I think it is absolutely abhorrent with caveats. I understand the circumstances that cops need to have and law enforcement have to have face coverings on. I'm not banging down the door of some drug cartel kingpin with my name badge on, my residential address, and my face. Like, that's, I don't want to end up with my family hanging off a bridge somewhere. You get what I'm saying? But what we're talking about ain't that. I don't want to argue about that. I'll grant you that. What do you think about all these ICE agents and maybe local law enforcement and maybe somebody from the FBI or some other agency of the federal government, you can't tell because it doesn't say, with face coverings on? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. L.A. Tom, welcome to the show. Say hi to Matt. What you got for us?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Maggie.
How you doing?
Well, what I'd like to say first off is happy Pride to everybody out there.
Happy Pride! It's Pride Month!
That's right. And second, I think the Republicans have earned, and factually, we should be calling them the pro-death party. And the Democrats ought to grab the mantle of pro-life. They are in favor of getting rid of USAID. They are in favor of cutting Medicaid. They are in favor of wars. They are in favor of capital punishment. They are the pro-death party. And I think the Democrats really need to grab that mantle of pro-life and say, we are the pro-life party. Because just because a woman has the right to choose does not mean she's going to choose to terminate a pregnancy. It's the whole point of choice. But we are the pro-life party. They are the pro-death party.
Well, and remember, I mean, Tom, remember the complete freak out about death panels? When they wanted to put, like, there weren't death panels. And it wasn't like the ACA was introducing death panels as some new thing. You want an organ transplant? Guess what? A group of surgeons and physicians gets together and decides if you're an appropriate candidate. There's been versions of this everywhere, but they basically were like, Democrats want to kill people. See? Joni Ernst just said, drop dead. See if I care. Like, on a hot mic. That's not made up.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. I like it. Dems are the pro-life party. I think we should run with that. Matt, your reaction to what Tom had to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little confusing, pro-life, because of the abortion issue, but certainly the Republicans are the pro-death party and proud of it, if you listen to Joni Ernst.
Yeah, I don't know how someone running in a place like Iowa gets away with that. I just don't. It's so shocking. Let's see. We got Cindy from Appleton. Welcome back. Say hi to Matt.
Are you talking to me?
Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say quick that you do understand the relationship between cutting the education budget and adding to the incarceration budget, right?
Oh, yes, my friend. Oh, yes.
Yep.
They run hand in hand.
To make that point.
The fewer dollars we spend on education, the more dollars we'll spend on incarceration, which, you know, benefits a very small group of individuals that aren't regular folks. I mean, again, we're incarcerating more people now than we ever have in the entirety of our nation's history for longer periods of time, for less violent offenses. None of it's working. You want to talk about a crisis in public safety. How about the fact that we now incarcerate mental health? That's what we do with people that have severe, prolonged mental health problems. We lock them up. We have no capacity within our systems to address long-term, very challenging mental health problems, especially youth that have very serious mental health and behavioral difficulties. We just incarcerate people. And the stats on that, unequivocal. Costs us more for less result, less safety to incarcerate people at the levels that we are. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I got Matt Rothschild with me. When we come back, we're going to dig into this question of ICE and the face masks. Does it feel a little Gestapo-y? I mean, it feels a little icky, little concerning.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. And I know that there are men and women of good faith doing their jobs. I want them safe. I want them protected. But really? Less face masks, I think. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. More when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Monday. Hope another workday is now through for you. I'm having fun at my job because I'm with each and every one of you and my fine guest co-host. You can find him here every Monday with me, and you can find him on his own fine podcast called Wisconsin Forward. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find that pod at civicmedia.us, Spotify, Apple Pods, and anywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. We are going to open up the phone lines. It's also a gimme. You can talk about whatever you want because Matt and I consume an obnoxious amount of news. We're happy to discuss any or all of it with you. Too much news that is good for our health, most likely. But the topic, the question of the afternoon, because I got into it online with a couple of posters, is about the fact that it's not just ICE, but I'm going to use ICE as shorthand for any and all law enforcement that has been conscripted or otherwise directed from both local, state, and federal law enforcement organizations to execute immigration raids and or arrests. They're showing up without clear insignia denoting what agency they are with, which is usually a really important thing. You know, if some cop kicks your teeth in unnecessarily, I kind of want to know if it's my local PD or like federal ICE officials, or was it somebody from the FBI or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Fire? They're all participating because Donald Trump has been sucking law enforcement agencies into this immigration pushed and purge since January. And he's requiring more and more resources, which is a whole nother story about how local and state law enforcement is becoming increasingly thinned out and our neighborhoods less safe because resources are being diverted to Donald Trump's warfare on immigrants that help grow our foods, clean our homes and businesses, help teach our children, help take care of our children, and serve in technical occupations like lawyers and engineers, all up and down the income spectrum.
And the stories are heartbreaking, too. There's a woman in Milwaukee who is supposed to be deported tomorrow who's got...
She's a teacher's aide.
She's a teacher's aide. She's got two young twins at home. She's been a model citizen. She was applying for a visa because she was a victim of being trafficked at some point in her life, and they're just going to ship her away. I mean, this is just... These stories, they're just devastating.
It is.
But on the mask thing, Meg, I mean,
yeah.
How do you know the person who's all dressed up with a mask isn't from the Proud Boys or from the Oath Keepers?
Because they all dress alike. This is the problem. And I want to open it up to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Your phone calls will be taken. Your text will be addressed. I wanted to share with all of you some of the comments that I saw on a thread about this and my responses there too, okay? And both commentators, I think I've got two or three that I actually copied and wrote down because I thought, whoa. Yes, three of them. Interesting to note, all three white men, two of them were our former CEOs and one of is a chief information officer. So all white dudes that are former C-suite executives. Okay, just let that sit. But here was the comment from one. Your side is dangerous and unhinged. We saw Antifa protesters at the homes and on the property of Supreme Court justices. These officers deserve to do their jobs and go home to their civilian families. Antifa is able to dox these officers by simply posting their photos on Twitter and asking, if you know who these people are, please tell us. Of course, someone went to school with them or knows them from the area, who is also against ICE's lawful business. Do they deserve an Antifa protest at their house during dinner time? A whole bunch of things there. First, no, someone who does their government job should not fear for their or their family's physical safety if they are executing their government job in good faith, following the Constitution and abiding by their oath, which usually starts with something like, I will uphold all laws and faithfully execute all laws of our nation and state, invoking the Constitution. So all of these officers take an oath that is some version of that, which means the limits of their lawful authority end with the edges of our Constitution. Just something to consider. So the presumption of lawfulness in all areas of law enforcement action is a faulty one. Law enforcement has acted unlawfully in the past. But again, so long as a law enforcement officer is doing their job in good faith, like, no, I don't think they should fear for their safety or the safety of their families. I am not talking about the very real circumstance where they're dealing with violent, well-organized gangs or cartels. That's not what I'm talking about. Where there has been an evidentiary basis for that that should be actually reviewed by supervisors, documented, I can see where they would wear face masks. I'm not talking about that. But going to pick up the teacher's aide tomorrow in Milwaukee with her two kids, yeah, don't show up with eight dudes, five squads, all in mass and military tactical gear and scare the heck out of this woman. That's what I'm talking about. That's the place that I don't think the masks are appropriate. I'm going to share with you my response to that comment. I'm going to share my experience as a government official. I have had protesters at my home. So I actually know of whence I speak when I'm talking about this. Have I been a protester? You betcha. Not at somebody's home, but I've taken to the streets. We're going to unpack all this. Matt and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Matt Rothschild. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got Matt Rothschild with me as my co-host for the remainder of the show. And every Monday, you can find him here with me. I come to you from 540 AM WAUK. We've got some swag in the works for the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll let you know when that's available. Question of this final half hour of the show. What is your reaction to now this indelible image imprinted in all of our minds of law enforcement from what agency? Who knows? Because they rarely wear clear insignia. In full tactical gear, basically minus an automatic weapon and a military-style helmet, but otherwise full tactical gear with face mask coverings on from their neck all the way up to their eyeballs, a baseball cap, and then shades. You literally can't see a bit of the person's face. Is that okay in a democracy? And again, I am not talking about when they got to go after cartel members, there's a legit security risk if they can be identified. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you want to round up 10, 11 million people, most of whom are not violent criminals, the vast majority of which are taxpaying, hardworking neighbors and colleagues, like the teacher's aide in Milwaukee Public Schools who may get snatched up tomorrow as two kids. You don't need a face mask on for that arrest. Why do you have a face mask on? I got lit up a little bit online, which I love, as you all would know. I'm going to share with you my response to a few of those, but let's take a little bit of sound. This is Congressman Dan Goldman. Actually, first, Jacob, let's actually take the Homan sound. So this is the head of ICE, Tom Homan, one of Donald Trump's favorite people, on Fox News just a few weeks ago, showing us the attitude of ICE when it comes to the rule of law in this country and making sure we do things correctly, because we are a shining city on a hill.
I promised the American people, the President Trump has made a promise to American people, we're going to make this country safe again. I wake up every morning loving my job because I work for the greatest president in the history of my life, and we're going to make this country safe again. I'm proud to be a part of this administration. We're not stopping. I don't care what the judges think. I don't care what the left thinks. We're coming.
I don't care what the judges think. That's a nice attitude to have by a cabinet secretary for the U.S. government.
I mean, this is the same guy that threatened Governor Evers. And so my question, and I talked to a bunch of my friends who are either current U.S. attorneys, okay, former U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys, and immigration lawyers. I know a whole ream of these people. And said, is this normal? Like, do these guys usually look like this when they're going to do these arrests? The answer was, from every single one of them, including people who are quite conservative, no, this is basically the new uniform of ICE, and nobody's going to do a damn thing about it. Now, Dan Goldman, who's now a congressman, he was formerly an assistant U.S. attorney. He is an extremely well-respected lawyer. He is a Democrat. But here's what Dan Goldman, because he knows about this stuff, again, worked for the feds, as a prosecutor, he was a law enforcement official. Here's what he had to say. This is cut 11, Jacob, about all these masks that all these guys are wearing.
I had with the ICE agents. I was a federal prosecutor for 10 years right there. I worked with the Department of Homeland Security. I worked with ICE agents. I worked with Homeland Security's investigations. I have never seen any plainclothes officer wearing a mask. And I asked them, why are you wearing a mask? One person told me because it's cold. I asked him if he would testify to that under oath, and he walked away and wouldn't respond to me. Another person admitted that they're wearing masks so that they are not caught on video. And my question to them is, if what you are doing is legitimate, is lawful, is totally above board, why do you need to cover your face? Law enforcement officers do not cover their face. And in fact, the Trump administration is cracking down on universities for allowing protesters to wear masks. So apparently it is not okay to wear a mask if you're protesting the government, but it is okay if you are the government to wear masks and in order to shield your face from the public.
My baseline, as someone who worked in government, who has had people really angry at me, is this. If you can't do your job as a governmental employee, and I'm not talking about people that work in intelligence, I'm not talking about undercover, I'm not talking about any of that, so we all, not stupid, so please don't come at me with that nonsense. If you cannot stand up with your face fully visible and say, I am officer so-and-so, and you're so ashamed, maybe that should cause you some pause. I think it is much easier for people to do wrong when we're hidden behind screens, in our cars, hidden behind masks. And if Donald Trump, as he said on March 4th in a Truth Social post, American students will be permanently expelled or arrested depending on the crime. No masks in protests. Thank you for your attention. He's saying we're going to criminalize if you show up at a protest with a mask on. We've got over 21 states in this country that have introduced legislation to criminalize mask wearing in a protest. There are more bills introduced in this year by this time than there have been in prior years. They're passing. It's illegal to show up to exercise your First Amendment right in a mask, but law enforcement gets to hide behind it when they're executing their normal, regular, everyday functions, right? Like that. This is what immigration agents are supposed to be doing. Matt, what do you, this yeah, feels I mean, so gross to me.
Yeah, and I don't think it's to mask their identity. I think it's to intimidate the American people. I think that's what it's all about. They want American news consumers to see these people in masks throwing undocumented people here in this country into vans and whisking them away to prisons in El Salvador or Louisiana or Sudan or wherever they're going, and for us to be scared. That's what I think what's going on. I mean, listen, we've got police, good police officers every day patrolling the streets of this country without wearing masks.
Right. What in the hell are they talking about? 855-752-4842. Kevin, listening on WMDX, says this. Without due process, identification of the agents and proper warrants, aren't the ICE arrests tantamount to kidnapping? There are some powers that enable this. But again, what the Supreme Court has said unequivocally is you're supposed to get due process. If someone were to fight back, Kevin continues, could they possibly be acquitted on self-defense, a la Kyle Rittenhouse? I mean, this is the la-la land that we're in. If these guys bust down my door in the middle of the night and I live in a stand-my-ground state and I light them up with my, multiple magazine automatic weapon because my state says that's fine, and they don't have ID and they haven't identified them. I mean, now, law enforcement, if they bust down your door, are supposed to be saying police, police, police. But again, if you're covering all this up, I think it's a combo. I think they don't want their identities out there, Matt. And I think the visual is meant to be intimidating. Here's what I said. Let me just describe for folks briefly, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. I'll just share with you my experience. I have had protesters at my personal residence three times. They numbered approximately 20, 25, 30 each time. Full signs with my name on it. Margaret C. Dawn, and a bunch of allegations. They didn't understand what my job was. They didn't understand the role of my office. It was basically a misunderstanding. I actually twice went out and sat down with the protesters. It was in the summer, brought them some water. Hey, let's sit down. Let me try to explain. They weren't satisfied. And I said, thank you, and went back inside my, you know, but I came out. I didn't actually, you know, like try to avoid. These people had a right to be there. They were standing in public space protesting what they thought they disagreed with that they thought I had done. Guess what? Part of the job I signed up for.
Right.
Part of the job. Here's what I said to this former CEO who went off about they're getting doxxed. I worked in government. I've had protesters at my home. It's not a moment I relished, but I realized that when you exercise the power of the state on behalf of the people may have questions and objections. If protests are peaceful on public property, then what's the beef? Many Dems, including me, condemn political violence of all types. Are those Dems dangerous and unhinged because we criticize our government? What do you say about pizza delivery to judges at their homes using the name of Esther Salas's son, who was shot and murdered by an aggrieved party that had appeared before the judge, posing as a pizza delivery man? These pizza deliveries are going to, by the way, judges ruling against Donald Trump. There are thousands of these apparently that have happened, or at least hundreds by my understanding. Calling huge groups of people dangerous and unhinged is itself a bit extremist. No, I condemn all forms of political violence and oppression, regardless of source or speaker. Will you join me? What should the rule be regarding name badges and face coverings are those that are in law enforcement? What if a president executed a clearly unconstitutional executive order to round up all privately held weapons in the U.S. because of our, quote, violence crisis? Should the officers that come to raid your home in the middle of the night to seize your weapons illegally, I might add, cover their faces and refuse to identify themselves is outrage relative. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. We got Matt Rothschild with us. Let's go to the phones. Ollie from the Northwoods, always a pleasure to see you on my caller list. Say hi to Matt. What you got for us? Hello, Ollie. Are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say my name.
That's all right.
I agree with both of you about the masks. I think that's just a way of intimidating people. I think that since everything has gone off the rails, that's my only way of saying this, that the law enforcement, to some extent, not all law officers, but some tend to be more assertive.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, your reactions to this, Ollie's making the point that within law enforcement and various law enforcement agencies, there definitely is the hoorah culture. Like, yep, put me in tactical, put me in a tank that we got from the U.S. military on the secondary market, and let's take down doors. And it's the cowboy that exists within law enforcement. It exists alongside law enforcement officers that don't abide by any of that at all, right? Like, both things are true. But the cowboy mentality scares the crap out of me when I'm the one that's looking down the barrel of their guns.
Right. And a lot of folks who are non-white are disproportionately the victims of that. And Donald Trump is encouraging this kind of cowboy policing. He's been doing it for years.
Folks, that's Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast available on the Civic Media Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. We've got our final thoughts on the ICE agents in full tactical with masks on, refusing to identify themselves, intimidation program of the Trump administration next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-752-4842. Get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hello, everybody. I hope your Monday flew by just as fast as mine did with all of you and my fine guest co-host, Matt Rothschild. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you blinked and happened to miss our 2025 Scotty Summer Text to Win Word of the 4 o'clock hour, don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow again in the 4 o'clock hour with a new word that you will be able to text me via our app to enter to win daily, hourly prizes, money, grand prizes. You'll get entered. Don't worry, it's going to happen every single day for 2 weeks. And we also will still have Free Ticket Friday on Fridays, where I give away even more Brewers tickets in the fabulous Civic Media Club level seats. We've been talking about ICE agents and other law enforcement agency or law enforcement officers conscripted into Donald Trump's deportation program, wearing masks. I think it is deeply problematic. I think so many of us that work in government understand that people will sometimes object to our decision-making, to our actions in government. That is part of what you sign up for. It is part of the scrutiny that government actors receive. Violence and threats of violence directed at people who are doing their jobs in good faith within the bounds of the Constitution should not happen. So I'm not talking about real incredible threats of injury to agents that are engaging in immigration enforcement, though we can have a discussion about whether or not it's actually within the bounds of the Constitution and therefore their oaths because of the Supreme Court's ruling about due process. But for argument's sake, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about picking up people that have no criminal records, engaging in raids at schools, at medical centers, hospitals, workplaces, where there is absolutely no reason for law enforcement to be covering their faces up. No credible reason anyways. I've shared with you a couple of comments that I've received online, my responses there too. The last couple, I can just summarize with this one. I'll use this one as an exemplar. Bad guys never play by the rules. They break the rules. So to beat the bad guys, sometimes you need guys that break the rules to beat them, like terrorism and counterterrorism. By the way, that piece of constitutional Mensa level analysis was brought to you by a former C-suite executive. My response was this: how we treat the unquestionably guilty in this country establishes the rights or lack thereof of the many righteous innocent. That is what due process is designed for, to protect the process each person is due, regardless of actual guilt or innocence, so that we are less likely to convict the innocent, to strip rights, freedom, and life, yes, life, from people who are innocent. That process generally includes facing your named accuser, challenging the method of your arrest, including the specific interactions between yourself and the officers that you can identify, and disputing the charges against you. It does not equal being disappeared by masked, credentialist armed militias without even the designation of which law enforcement agency they are with in the middle of the night, and then being renditioned to one of the most violent places on earth without a call to a lawyer, let alone a hearing. That's what it is about. So you do to the least of my people, Joni Ernst, if we want to talk about Jesus Christ, you do to me. How we treat people who are unquestionably guilty, even if we presume their guilt, is how we treat the righteous innocent. That is the bounds of the rights as they are protected. That is the way it works here. Anything else is simply not a democracy. It is not the rule of law.
And this idea of just go break the rules because there's some bad guys out there. First of all, Trump has exaggerated grotesquely the issue of immigration and slandering all undocumented immigrants with a huge, ugly, broad brush. But breaking the rules is not how our system is supposed to work. And that's a C-suite person was just echoing the Trump mentality that, you know, rules are for suckers and I can do whatever I want. And we got to, you know, knock some heads here.
Well, and that's, I see within conservatives of good faith, especially conservatives of good faith that are lawyers, that are judges, that are some of the folks who, for better or worse, crafted conservatism pre-Trump, right? I see from them now, perhaps too little, too late, calling this out, saying this isn't about safety. It's not about public safety. It's not about trade. This is about the assertion of raw power, unlimited, unchecked by not only courts, unchecked by our norms, the values that we used to all uphold. Government law enforcement officers acting the way that these ICE agents are in any other circumstance. I mean, does anybody remember the guy in the standoff with the Bureau of Land Management? Like, yay, now some 6-7 years past, who got into an armed standoff. I mean, that guy, that everybody, conservatives were all, well, that's good. You didn't see law enforcement rolling in with tanks all masked up, like reducing that guy's ranch to rubble to arrest. Again, faux outrage only directed in certain instances that are not analogous or are poor. This seems to be all the rage these days.
Yeah, and we just can't give up on due process and habeas corpus. That's crucial in this country. We've mentioned a couple times the woman from Milwaukee who faces deportation tomorrow. I just wanted to give her name. Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee teacher's aide with twins. ICE is going to rip this mom from the arms of her twins tomorrow unless something changes.
If you want to find out more about protests and other ways and means to support that teacher's aide at MPS, who is a spotless, no criminal record, check out Voces de la Frontera. Voces de la Frontera. They have more information about how to reach out, support the cause, and ask for our rights, due process to confront your accuser, to actually see the face of law enforcement officers that want to arrest you. Yeah, should be a right. That's going to do it for Matt and I. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.